Hey guys, I'm Sandy.
I'm Christy.
And we're a little bit dead. So we are two middle-aged women. We are navigating being adults, making new friends, juggling jobs and kids and adult kids and all that stuff. And so we are doing a podcast just to share our experiences and as we get to know each other.
Yep, come along on this journey with us if you'd like.
Yeah, and we're having such a good time doing it.
We talk about all the things.
All the things. So, it's only been a couple of days since I've seen you.
Yes.
So, yeah, we're trying to get a couple of episodes ahead so that we can, this summer when we want to go on a trip, we don't have to worry about it.
I'm ready.
Yes. So, not much has gone on the last couple of days. Been kind of quiet. What about you?
Well, I did think of something that I wanted to tell you. So, you know, I've shared with you in the past that I have a granddaughter that has been nonverbal.
Mm-hmm.
She's over three. She's about 3.5 years old, and she's been through speech therapy and, you know, doctor's visits and just, like, wasn't even trying to speak at all. And
yeah.
On Christmas Day, well, Christmas Eve, I spent the night with them. That's what my husband and I did this year. And so when we woke up Christmas morning, we got to watch her open her presents and spend the day playing with her and stuff. Well, that night when we left, she approached me, and on her very own, she told me, "I love you."
Oh,
and she pointed
so
at me when she said it. It was like, you have no idea how much
amazing.
My heart just melted.
See, I told you.
Just
she's
going to
have she's going to have something to say one day.
She sure will.
Yeah. I told you my daughter was that way when she was really little. She just didn't have anything to say.
Yeah.
And I thought, "My God, something's wrong." But no, and then she opened her mouth and has not shut it since. So, yeah, she's a little spitfire, but yeah, well, that's so exciting.
I know. And it's so, parenting today is so different than it was
yeah.
when we were raising kids because, you know, there's, I think there's more pressure because of social media and you have all these influencer moms and they tell you how you're supposed to do things proper. And,
yeah.
and it's almost like you feel like you're a failure if your family doesn't look as perfect as them. And I just try to remind my daughters that, you know, they get to edit what they're sharing with you.
Yeah.
Their life is not perfect, you know, and every child is going to have their own challenges. And
yeah, all kids are, I mean, I had four kids and every single one of them is vastly different from each other.
Right.
So it's just, everybody kind of does things at their own pace and
It was precious, I'm telling
you.
Oh,
that's so sweet.
You know, my grandson has been, he's the exact same age as her. They're 4 weeks apart. He's 4 weeks younger than her. And he's been speaking for over a year now, and like he has a very extensive vocabulary and you just have conversations with him. And then for her it was just so different because you had to guess, like, when she'd get up, the frustration she must feel, you know, not being able to communicate.
Yeah,
but my heart just melted so much.
Oh, that's so good. Yay.
So it was just anyway.
Yeah, no, I haven't done much. We cleaned up all the Christmas stuff at the shop and gearing up for Valentine's Day because that's the next big
right
flower shop holiday. So if you need to order flowers, call me.
That's right.
I'm taking pre-orders, okay? Look it up. Anyway, so we were kind of talking a little bit earlier about what we wanted to talk about because we're recording this before New Year's, so it's not New Year's yet. But going into the new year, like, what is something that you and I should, a topic that we should kind of discuss a little bit? And so, we've landed on
childhood trauma.
Dun, dun, dun.
Everybody's got it.
Everybody's got it. And, yeah, so... Oh, Lord, what I'm getting gotten myself into with this.
Okay, I'll start us off with a true story.
Okay.
Okay, so I was in my early 40s, and I was sitting at the dinner table with my dad, and we got to talking about this person I hadn't seen since I was a little kid, you know? And I never, you know, have you ever had something that your brain just suppressed and all of a sudden it was like blaring in your face?
Yes.
So when he brought up this little girl, and all of a sudden it hit me that when I was 4 years old, she molested me.
Like
my whole entire life, like up to that point, I never even thought about it. And then like all of a sudden, whenever he said that, it just like came to the front of my mind, and I was like, oh my God. Because I think about, you know, at that time that it happened, I would have been 4 years old.
Yeah.
And she was about five. And so it breaks my heart thinking about it now, because a five-year-old should not have any knowledge.
She was probably
anything like that.
Also being abused would be my first thought.
I agree. That is the exact place where my mind went, and you know, and it's not like it necessarily traumatized me now thinking about it as an adult, because I was a kid and apparently I just kind of let it go and went on. But yeah, it did come back up later. Anyway, that's the very first time that I can think of in my life that was like something traumatic happening, you know? Not going into any details or nothing, but I mean, it wasn't. It was definite. That was definite.
That's so sad, though.
Devastation. Yeah.
I mean, it's sad for you to have gone through it, but it's sad for her too, because she had to have been being abused.
Yeah.
That's awful.
And I remember some of the other neighborhood kids. I know my mother had told my dad about it, I guess, because he was telling me that my mom had told him that she had saw us, we were playing outside in the backyard, and that she had saw that I had climbed on top of the little girl, and I had her by her hair and was just like beating her head into the ground.
Oh my God.
Tell her, I don't want to play with you anymore, you know.
Christy.
I don't remember this happening.
Well,
I just know that, you know, my dad had said that, and now I do remember what happened. Like, what she did, it just, like, at the time that it took place, I was too young to realize what that was, and apparently I just decided I ain't playing with you, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, I was a little older when I was molested, and it's not something that I really want to talk about too much, but, you know, when I had boobs, like, young, you know, and I had big boobs. It's a D cup in the fifth grade. I mean, you know, and so
that's hard on a little girl that age.
Yeah, and so I mean, I had started puberty really young. I was like 9, and so I just was having a hard time. Like, all the girls hated me because they were all still flat chested. And I had big, huge boobs, and...
So I guess you never had to go through the phase of stuffing with Kleenex.
No, never. my mama bought me my first bra when I was in the first grade.
Oh, my God.
And not to be, you know, like some kids wear a bra because it's, they think it's whatever. No, I needed a bra in the first grade, so...
Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah. You know, these days, you know, on the internet these days, they call it precocious puberty when you start that young, I guess. But yeah, so just a family person just kind of took advantage, and you know, I was 11 and didn't know what to do. I ended up handling it myself and been like, this is not a thing that's gonna go on. No. Yeah, that was my first, like, trauma.
Well, I mean,
that was my first sexual trauma of being, you know.
I was going to say, though, that that's got to be pretty traumatic to go through puberty at such a young age, though.
Yeah, it was not fun. And I was so worried about my girls, you know, going through that at a young age, just because I did. But, you know, they were older at normal age.
I will never forget whenever my oldest daughter, when she started going through that, My husband came home one day, and I guess he really realized, holy crap, our daughter has boobs. Mm-hmm. And he told her, you can't eat chicken anymore. He was insistent that it was the chicken.
The chicken.
Because they put hormones in the chicken. Hormones in the
chicken. No more chicken for you, ma'am. Oh, my God. That's hilarious. No, yeah, but my girls did not. And, you know, it did make me be a much more a vigilant parent with who my kids were around. Because I was family friend, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it made me be very cautious with my kids about who they were around, where they spent the night.
Right.
We don't sit in laps, things like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yeah, so.
Well, I was thinking of another thing that I think a lot of people may have experienced something like this, but there was not really a name for it at the time. My mother, she had a severe hormone imbalance,
mm-hmm.
and there were days that she was very easygoing, and then there was days that there was not a single thing that you could do. Like, if you were just breathing, you were breathing too loud, or, I mean, it was really difficult, you know. As a small kid, it affected my relationship with her. I tended to spend more time with my dad. How do I say this? So instead of handling a situation the way that it should be handled, sometimes it was like she didn't have control of herself the way that she handled it.
Yeah.
Instead of a spanking, it would be a hairbrush to the head or something like that. Now listen, I'm not saying my mother was intentionally abusive. I don't think that it was something that she intended to do. I think that it was because of the issues that she had. She had to have had severe anxiety, but
yeah.
We didn't talk about anxiety back then. But it was PCOS is what it was. She had,
yeah.
I know without a doubt that she had the polycystic ovarian syndrome, because I have it, both of my daughters have it, all of our female cousins on my mother's side, like, they all have it. My sister, her kids,
yeah.
It's just something that apparently is hereditary in our family. And now the hormone issues that I've had have been medical issues so far.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I'm not crazy, because I'm a woman. My husband said all women are crazy, but I'm sure I have my moments. But I look back on it now, and it's like I give more grace to her.
Yeah.
Because I kind of understand, like, how frustrating that had to have been, because there was not any medical help for it. It just wasn't a thing. And
women's health used to not be like, my mom had severe anxiety, bad, and the answer was that was, oh, here's a prescription for Ativan, I don't know what else to do for you, you know. And like, women's health was not taken seriously as I feel like it could have been in, like, the 70s and the 80s especially.
Right.
Like, it started getting better kind of moving into the 90s. But, yeah, my mom... I was very close to my mom after I moved out.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened with us.
Yeah, I didn't have a good time living in my house. Like, I lived with my granny while I was in high school. Like, I just could not deal with either one of my parents. Which, I love my dad. We're great now. I was great with my mom before she passed, but I was not a great kid to begin with. I was shitty. You know, I was going through, like, the whole puberty shit at 9. And all of the emotional outburst that came with that. And then I had my dad, who was a Vietnam vet, he had things he was dealing with. My mom had her anxiety stuff that she was dealing with. And it was just not a good environment for anybody, you know? And so, but yeah, we're all great now. But I understand where you're coming from with the hairbrush to the head.
Oh, yeah. I remember
day,
like, if we were home from school, it might have been either summer break or a holiday, I don't remember, but my mom had asked us to clean our room, and I guess we weren't cleaning it fast enough, and I remember her coming into the room and she picked up one of my records and broke it.
Oh.
And it was because, like, the room wasn't clean yet. And, you know, and I was devastated, just dead. I love music, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, just little things like that. And then as I grew older and I started parenting,
yeah,
I started realizing, holy crap, I'm starting to behave very similar to my mom, you know. And let me say this, I love my mom. My mom and dad were amazing parents. They did everything they could for us. And I know I was loved, and they know they were loved, you know. But, you know, there's things like that. And so I went to the doctor. I did go to the doctor. This was before I was diagnosed. This was before anybody ever checked a hormone or anything. The doctor prescribed me Zoloft. So I started taking Zoloft, and I literally, like, checked out on life altogether, I swear.
See, I did that. My doctor, the first thing that I was given was Prozac. I didn't give a shit about anything or anyone.
Yeah, that's how I was, yeah. So I went from caring too much to not having a care in the world, and I was just basically just drifting through the days. And, you know, it was just like a moment that I realized I can't live like this. And, you know, I know you're supposed to wean yourself off of that. I didn't do it.
I
flushed the pills. I didn't even just put them up. I flushed them. Sorry if that got in your water system.
Yeah, sorry about that.
But I flushed them, and I never took another one. And that's when I started realizing, okay, there's got to be some changes that I have to internalize. And I'm not saying that I was, you know, I wasn't a perfect mother by any means. But I started realizing, you know, there's something going on here. And eventually, you know, going to the doctors, having my hormone levels checked and things like that, I mean, it was pretty quick. They honestly had already diagnosed me verbally before they did any tests, just because of the questions that I answered and stuff.
Yeah.
And then when I had conversations with my cousins and found out they're going through the exact same things, you know, so many women suffer with this. And if you're not trying to get pregnant, a lot of women don't have any idea that they even have this issue.
Yeah. You know, I had a lot of hormone issues myself. When I was 18, I was diagnosed with endometriosis. Mm. And I had surgery about that, and they did what they could do. Said, you know, and I was told at like 16, well, I was younger because I was 16. I had surgery when I was 18. Because I remember my doctor telling me at 16, you're probably not ever going to be able to have kids.
Yeah.
And if you do get pregnant, you're probably not going to be able to carry to term. Which caused me to be reckless.
Yeah.
So, you know, doctors, hey, don't tell teenage children that. Because I was very reckless. Anyway, I went on to have 4 kids. The first one was twins. I went back to that same doctor and was like, you said, you know, but it was fine. I was in a committed relationship. We got married. We had 2 more kids. But I never was able to take, like, birth control. It made me crazy. It made me cry. It made me scream. Hormones out of whack. On birth control, couldn't do it. And so when I was in my 30s, I was done having kids. Here's another thing, is by the time I was 24, I had 4 kids. I went to, I don't even know how many different doctor's offices I called, trying to find somebody that would tie my tubes at 24. Because the doctor that I'd been using was like, you're too young, I'm not going to do that.
After 4 children?
I said, I'm done though. And then he was like, well, what if you change your mind and want another one? I said, I don't. I never will. I'm done. I'm done. So anyway, I finally found a doctor. I called this doctor's office in Marshall, and I was like, here's the deal. I'm 24. I've got 4 kids. I'm done. I want my tubes tied. Don't waste my time or your time. If you're going to do it, great. Let's make an appointment. Let's have a baby about it. If you're not going to do it, just tell me now so I can call the next person on the list. Anyway, and he said he would do it, but anyway, so I was able to get my tubes tied, and that made my life a little better, because birth control was not for me. And so when I was in my 30s, I started having all these stomach problems, feeling sick all the time, horrible stomach pain. They kept trying to tell me it was my gallbladder, it was this, it was that. And it was none of those things, because they put me on all this different medicine and nothing was helping. And I was having horrible anxiety, and this is all the same time with the Prozac and not giving a shit and all that. And so I finally went to go see an OBGYN just to have, like, I got to do something. Mm-hmm. And I ended up having horrible ovarian cysts. Mm. And they were filling up with fluid and then rupturing. And that's what was causing all my stomach problems, not being able to eat.
That's all what that happens stuff. With women with PCOS too.
Yeah, and so he was like, there's a couple things we can try, or we can just do a hysterectomy. I said, I want a hysterectomy. Take it all out. No ovaries, no nothing. Take it all out and throw it in the trash can. And when you take it and put it in the trash can, I would like for you to take a picture of it so that I can see that it is out of me and into the trash can. I was not joking. He did not do that. I was like, I'm so done with my innards. Like, I have no desire. He said, you're going to have to be on hormones the rest of your life. I said, I don't give a shit. I don't care. I want it gone. And while he was doing the exam, he popped one of those cysts that was the size of a softball. He apologized and gave me some ibuprofen and didn't charge me about it. So that was nice. And so I was in surgery several days later, having a complete hysterectomy. Best $12,000 I've ever spent in my life. Hmm. But when I went on the hormone therapy, that shit made me crazy, girl. When I woke up from surgery, I felt like a million bucks. I felt so good. Nothing hurt. My mind was great. Everything was great. I was so happy. And as I got on the hormones, I was going right back into the crying and the screaming and all of that stuff. So I called my doctor. I was like, I'm not taking these hormones. This is the only thing I'm doing different, and I'm not doing it. And he was like, you're going to grow a mustache. You're going to have all these symptoms. You're not going to want to do the do, whatever. And I was like, cool. I don't care. I'm not going to feel like this anymore. Mm-hmm. And, so I quit.
I like how you say the do the do.
Well, you know. So just, you know, it's what it is. But, everybody knows what we're talking about. But anyway, and so, yeah, he said, you need to wean off of it. And this and that. I was like, yeah, I'll get right on that, my dude. I just quit taking them. And I have never had a problem with it again, ever. Ever, ever.
Yeah.
But, I do love my anxiety meds.
I'm not on anxiety meds, but I probably need to be. I don't know.
My one, and I want to say, I can't quite remember if I took this when I was pregnant or not. I can't remember, but it was one of my OG, there was an OBGYN in Linden. That I just went to for everything. Like, if I was sick, had a cold, whatever, I just went to him, and he would just give me whatever, you know. And I went to him, and he's the one that put me on Prozac. And that didn't go well. And then, my thing was I wasn't sleeping. I would stay up for days, and then be pissy.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And mad, and tired and all, but I just could not sleep. I could not turn my brain off and go to bed, lay down and go to sleep. Couldn't do it. And he put me on trazodone, and I can't remember if it was before Scotty was born or after. I don't remember. I think it was after Scotty was born, because I don't think I took anything when I was pregnant, which I probably should have, but anyway. It had to have been right after Scotty was born with the Prozac and then whatever, but hey, I've been on trazodone for 20 years and it's great. Love it. Take it. Go to bed. Go to sleep and sleep through the night.
I'm just take my gummies.
Yeah. Listen. I'm not a gummy girl. Can't do it.
Well, I'm asleep when it kicks in. I take it right at bedtime, so by the time it kicks in, I'm asleep, so.
Yeah.
Unless I take too much, then you wake up and you're like, ooh.
Yeah. Well, you know, You know, I used to take gummies for fun. But a friend of mine, which we're not friends anymore, but we were having to get together at her house, and she was like, here, take this gummy. And it was like a kind of big, and I was like, the whole thing? I said, just give me half of that. And she's like, I took a whole one. And I was like, okay, I'll take a whole one too, because I'm Billy Badass. Girl, you're supposed to cut that thing in 8 pieces. 8 pieces. And I took the whole thing.
I wish they would make them smaller. I really wish they would. Like, and then you could take 2 of them if you...
It was like one of those things, it comes in like a circle. And it comes in a singular little package. You're supposed to cut it like a pizza into 8 pieces. Take 1 piece of the pizza. Mm. Yeah, so that was a knot that ended up with my head in the toilet. So.
Oh, I imagine.
Yeah, so I'm off the gummies. Yeah, my Vice is Coors Light.
Cheers. I think I need to open mine.
Yeah, open your beer. There it goes. So, we've talked about our anxiety. What else? What else are we going to talk about tonight?
So, as a teenager, I was probably, you said you were a shithead. I probably was too.
Yeah.
And a lot of that, I don't know. I can't even explain why I ended up behaving the way that I did. Okay, so there was something else traumatic that I'm really not going to share on here that had happened. But, you know, okay, so they say the statistics are 1 in 4 children are molested.
Yeah.
And that ended up being how I lost my virginity. I was in between my 8th and 9th grade year. And I'm not saying that I was a perfect kid before then, but I mean, I was a pretty decent kid. I loved my family. I made really good grades in school. I wasn't really a problem child or anything like that. I mean, I was mischievous enough, but nothing really severe. And then that incident happened.
Yeah.
It was actually the first night I drank alcohol.
Mm.
Like, in my life, the very first time
that you and I have talked about this privately. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
So that happened, and after that, I started just behaving terrible. And, you know, we're talking about childhood trauma. Think about the parents and what they have to go through whenever a child is behaving that way, and they have no idea what happened. Like, I never told my parents. I never told them that this happened. I was raped. I never said a word to them because I felt, well, I was responsible because I shouldn't have even been there. They would have never allowed me to be where I was at if I had been honest with them.
Yeah.
So I was kind of half-truthing to them. And because of that, I felt, I guess, my own guilt. And so I didn't tell them. And then, you know, I just cannot imagine how that must have broke their heart. Because I was a shit.
Oh, I was
my freshman year of high school, I went from making straight A's to, I failed my easiest subject. Like, how is that even possible? I read, right now I'm currently on 93. I've read 93 books this year, you guys. Because, yes, I do keep count. And, like, I love to read. I love the English language. I loved to write essays and all that. I never had any issues in that class. It was my easy breezy class. Always hundreds. And I failed in my freshman year of high school. Not the whole year, but for 2 of the 6 weeks, I failed. And I think I ended up passing at the end of the year with like a C. And I was in advanced classes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just sad, you know. And I don't know how my parents were able to deal with that. You know, they say you pay for your raising, and my daughters didn't do that to me. They never
Yeah, my daughters did not do that to me either. You know, if we get in the Wayback Time Machine, this is something that was said to me it's been a couple years, but, you know, my granddad died when I was five or six. Anyway, I was in the first grade. Wanda Cocker was my teacher.
Oh, I love this Wanda.
And she told me a couple years ago, I delivered flowers to her house. And she said, come in and talk to me for a minute. And so I went in and we were talking. And she said, you know, when Ranchi died, you just became a different person. You were never the same after that. Mm. And she's right. I mean, that completely changed me. Because I, you know, when I was little, I was just a happy-go-lucky kid, you know. And that happened. I mean, you can look at my picture from me in the first grade, my class picture. I'm literally crying in it. Mm-hmm. And it just made me, it changed me. It was the first, like, I'd been through death before. Like, my mom's brother died right a year before. And we were close to him, but I didn't take it like that, you know? And so I just became a completely different person, and that kind of, she said, it's like you never recovered from it, and it kind of broke my heart and made me cry. And she said, oh, I didn't mean to make you cry, but I was like, no, it's okay, I cry all the time. You know, I cry all the time, but that was something that I don't think I even told my husband that she said that, because, I mean, who's going to understand that, you know?
You know, as the years go by and so much changes, I don't always believe that the newest, latest way of dealing with stuff is always the best. I don't. But there are some things that I've seen progression made that I feel like is so much more healing to people, because there is no way that kids right now are not experiencing trauma, because the fact is it happens. You know, I hate that it happens, but it does.
Well, I just feel like too, like back in the 80s, everything was just brushed under the rug.
We don't talk about that. You know, whenever I told my parents finally that I was raped, do you know how it was responded? My dad sat down and cried with me, but that was it. I mean, that was it. Nothing was done. No police reports were filed. Nothing happened. I never even thought about doing that. And now as an adult, I mean, I'm fine with it. That's something that I have worked through in my life.
I did struggle with that. I mean, I'm fine with it now. But it was...
I feel like you either had it swept under the rug, or it was handled just completely inappropriately.
Well, it was handled privately.
And now, women have a voice now that they did not have back then. Women are able to talk about things, and I think that gives support to others as they're going through that did not happen in the past.
I would like to say one thing about that. If something happens to you in your life, say something about it.
It's just that shame that's attached to it, and people don't want to say anything. I mean, I don't know how I would have felt. I don't know, but I know that now I'm in a place that I can say, this did happen.
Yeah.
And it wasn't okay that it happened. And it wasn't my fault that it happened, you know. Yeah. I did take blame for it for a long time, you know.
I felt very responsible for what had happened to me, just because I had boobs.
Yeah, and that's not your fault.
Yeah.
You know, I remember whenever I was a little girl. I must have been in junior high, and I had another friend that had went through something like that as well. And I remember another man, a grown man, saying that it was the little girl's fault because of the clothing that she wore. And she didn't even dress inappropriately.
Well, my thing was,
even if she did, it wouldn't be her fault.
Well, the clothes that I wore, I was wearing the same shirt that everybody in my class was wearing, but because I had giant tits, it looked different on me than it did on the bane of my existence and my high school bully. Mm-hmm. That girl, because she didn't have any titties.
Yeah.
I mean, and she was so horrible to me. We would show up in, like, the same shirt in a different color, and she'd go, that's not good for you. It's just the same shirt you have on. I had one girl tell me, that's a boy shirt.
Fuck. A t-shirt is unisex. Anyway.
Yeah, it was just a stupid, like, it was so, girls are mean. Kids are mean.
I think that after the thing that had happened with me, that I kind of became a little bit mean, because I acted out. I just didn't care. There was, I don't know. I ended up, you know, the best thing that happened, there are shining moments sometimes, even in the dark. And the best thing that happened to me, and I do want to tell my story one day, was I met this person that it was the same year that all that happened, that ended up, you know, he was going through his own things, and this man is the one that I ended up getting married to, and he's still my husband, you know, and I love him so much. But I mean, we went through so much together because we were so young, you know, but he was the first person that I had told what happened to me.
Yeah. We should do episodes on our like how we met our husbands and
all that stuff. Oh, I think that would be good.
Yeah. I think that would be a good one. We'll do that. Well, next week we have a guest.
Oh, I'm so excited.
We have a special surprise guest. I'm very excited about it. I'm not going to tell you who it is. It's one of our 5 listeners.
Well, let me say this. If you're in a place right now that, and I don't want to say that there's anything wrong if you did not talk to somebody, because the fact is, you know, sometimes people don't.
Yeah.
But if you did experience something that was traumatic, and it's something that has followed you into your adult years and things like that, please find somebody that you can talk to about it, you know? Because there are, that I feel like this is my opinion. I am not a scientist or a doctor by any means, but I know from my own experience, being able to vocalize and to state this is what happened, and have somebody that was there with you, that is on your side, that will listen and not give advice, but to just be there and support you, it is so healing.
For sure.
It is so, so healing.
If you can afford therapy, I recommend therapy. I have not been in a position where I could afford therapy. I'm hoping that my new insurance will cover some therapy, because I enjoy somebody else telling me what to do.
I did go through counseling.
I've done some counseling off and on, and I liked it, and I finally had a really great counselor. She was local, she was great, and she retired. I just haven't. It's not that I can't afford it. I don't want to drive to Mount Pleasant about it.
Yeah.
So I've thought about doing the online. The BetterHelp, please sponsor us.
BetterHelp. We need your help.
We do need your help. We need therapy badly. We have been through some shit. God. Yeah.
But there is a bright side. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. That's the whole point I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Is that there is hope, and there is a way to, you're never going to forget your trauma, but there is a way to move past your trauma and allow that trauma to, let me make this as an example, okay? Let's say you have a beautiful piece of glass. And the piece of glass is just absolutely perfect. There's colors that swirl all through the glass. I mean, it's just gorgeous, right? But what happens when somebody throws a rock at the glass? Mm-hmm. It's going to break. It shatters. It's ruined. You know, there's just pieces of glass everywhere. But have you ever seen the little stained glass murals?
Yeah.
Like, you know, sometimes those pieces can come back together and they can become even more beautiful than they were to begin with. That's the point I'm trying to make, is that you can come to the other side of your trauma.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you and I both have been through, like, some the same, some different. Like, we've both had a pretty traumatic life. And, like, I've had friends over the years, but not any really body that I talk to about, like, the deep stuff, you know?
Right.
And so, this is kind of a new experience for me, is, like, having somebody to talk to about these types of things that understands it, has been through it. Like, there's some stuff that we're both obviously not going to talk about on this podcast because it's public and we're from a small town and we're not going to do that. But yeah, I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too.
We're doing things. We're each other's therapists right now.
I appreciate you listening to me.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate you listening to me. So, well, find us on Facebook.
WereLilbitDead.
At Gmail. Send us things. Send us your trauma. We'll talk about it. Send us stuff. I haven't checked our inbox. Maybe somebody sent us something. We just don't know it yet. I need to do that.
Yeah.
I'll do that. Check our inbox. But yeah, you know, we'd love to hear from anybody that, you know, has an experience with any type of childhood trauma, anything you've been through. You know, it might be another topic for us to talk about, because this is the tip of the iceberg of that childhood trauma.
Yeah.
We've both been through some shit, but, well, we love you guys, and, super excited about our special guest next week.
Yes, stay tuned. It's going to be fun. Yes,
we are. So today is Friday after Christmas. We are recording. So this episode comes out the Thursday after New Year's. We're recording Tuesday with our guest, and that episode will come out the following Thursday.
Yes.
So yay. So, we can't wait. Yay! It's going to be so fun. All right, well, catch you next week. Bye.
Bye.